I have a message for you this morning that I want very much for you to hear. And I mean hear. This is an unusual message. It's a different message. It's not the ordinary message that you hear on television or from the pulpit. Now, the message is entitled, This Man Receives Sinners. This Man Receives Sinners. I'm turning to Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Will you open your Bible, please, to Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him publicans and sinners to hear him, and the religious leaders, that's who the Pharisees were, murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Who is this man? Who are they talking about? This man receives sinners. Who is this man? Well, he's God incarnate. John said he's the Word made flesh. He's the exact image of the Heavenly Father. He is the brightness of God's glory. He is the promised Messiah. He's God's Christ. He's the Redeemer of His people. When the disciples asked him to show them the Father, he said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. So who is this man? This is none other than God incarnate in human flesh. This man receives sinners. Now, who are the people who brought these charges? Who are these enemies that accused him of eating with, associating with sinners? Well, these are the Pharisees. They were the devoutly religious, self-righteous, moral men of their day. They were the men who sought acceptance with God through their works, through their deeds, and through their religious affiliation. These men were very devout religious leaders, the Pharisees. They said, This man receives sinners. Now, what was the charge? What charge did they bring against Christ? They said, Well, he receives sinners. He associates with sinners. He's the friend of sinners. And they continually repeated this charge again and again in God's Word. Let me read you a few places. First of all, in Matthew 9. And as Jesus sat at meat in the house, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Why does your master associate with sinners? In Matthew 11, verse 9, they called him a gluttonous man and a winebibber, and they said, Why, he's the friend of publicans and sinners. And then in Luke 19, 7, when he went to the house of Zacchaeus, they all murmured, saying, Well, he's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Who is this man? He's the Lord of glory. He's God in human flesh. He's the Son of God. What was the charge they brought against him? He's the friend of sinners. He associates with sinners. He walks and talks with sinners. Now, who were the people who charged him with this? They were the righteous, moral, devout, religious people, self-righteous men who were seeking acceptance with God, not by grace, but by their own works and their own deeds. And these men, these enemies of grace, sought to brand him with shame. They weren't complimenting him when they said he received sinners. They wouldn't associate with them. They had nothing to do with publicans and sinners. They were holding his name up to ridicule. But what they meant to be shame is the very glory of Jesus Christ. Thank God that he loves sinners. I say thank God that Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. I say, thank God that he does receive sinners, for this is what makes the gospel good news. This is what makes the gospel glad tidings. Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. You know, men who truly know themselves rejoice that Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. Listen to Paul. He said in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying. And it's worthy of acceptation by all men that Jesus Christ is come into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Listen to David. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy. God is plenteous in mercy. Listen to John in 1 John 1:9. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Men who knew themselves, Paul and Peter and James and John and David, men who knew themselves to be sinners, rejoice that Christ receiveth sinners and associates with sinners and loves sinners. My friend, what I'm pointing out to you is this. This is no sham or fake gospel that I'm preaching. This is a real gospel for real sinners. I'm talking about real grace for real guilt. We preach no gospel of reward for mortals who are dressed in fig leaf aprons of self-righteousness. We preach no gospel of merit for phony moralists and hypocrites, but we preach good news of mercy for the sinner, mercy for the miserable, mercy for the man who is nothing, has nothing, and can do nothing. The hymn writer put it this way. Come ye sinners, come ye what? Sinners. Poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you. He's full of pity, love, and power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness that Christ requireth is for you to feel your need of him. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. Not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to call. I said those who know themselves rejoice that Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. Those who know their guilt rejoice that there's grace for the guilty. Those who know their inability and helplessness before God rejoice that there's help for the helpless and hope for the hopeless. And let me tell you something else. Those who know God, those who were intimately, personally acquainted with the living God and who were designated to speak for God, when they described the mission of Jesus Christ to this earth, listen to what they had to say. Now, you know the angel spoke for God. And the angel came and appeared to Joseph, telling him about the child that Mary would bring into the world. And listen to what the angel said. Now, these are angels of God. They're ministers of God. They're sent to minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation. Now, let's hear how they describe the mission of Jesus Christ. We've heard these Pharisees say, he's the friend of sinners. He's a gluttonous man, a wine bibber. He associates with sinners. They thought to heap ridicule and shame upon him. And those who knew themselves were glad that he was the friend of sinners. They're glad he associates with sinners. They're glad he loves sinners. Now let's listen to those whom God commissioned, ordained, and sent into this world to describe the mission of his son. Listen to the angels. They said, Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From their sins. All right, listen to what our Lord, this is Christ himself speaking. In Luke 19, he said, the Son of Man is come. Well, we know that. He has come. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Christ come into the world? To save sinners. Why did Jesus Christ leave heaven's glory and clothe himself with the likeness of sinful flesh? Why did Jesus Christ come into this world and obey the law, tempted, tested, tried in all points as we are, yet without sin? Why did Jesus Christ go to the cross and suffer such agony? Why did he do this? Well, he said to seek and to save the lost. He said, I'd not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You go learn what that means. And then listen to Paul in Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now watch this verse, Romans 5:6. Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Those who knew God and those who were commissioned of God to announce the ministry of our Lord, John the Baptist, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The angels, our Lord himself, the Apostle Paul, he died for the ungodly. My friends, I rejoice. I rejoice to say this morning that God's gospel of free grace is addressed to sinners like you and sinners like me. There are plenty of people who are too good to be saved. There are none too bad. Did you hear that? There are plenty of people who are too good to be saved. There is none too bad. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. The gospel of Jesus Christ is addressed to sinners. Now you listen to the gospel. Our Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Who's invited? Those who labor under the load of sin, those who are heavy laden with the burden of sin. If you're loaded, heavy laden, burdened with sin, he said, "You come to me. I'll take your burden. I'll take your load. I'll give you rest." Listen to this. "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, though they be as scarlet, they be white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Listen to this. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. Come without money. Come without merit. Come without price. Come without works. Come without deed. Come and buy wine, milk, without money, without price." Everyone who's not a sinner ought to turn this program off right now. Because, my friend, if you continue to listen, you'll only add to your condemnation. Because the gospel is for sinners. Salvation is for sinners. Grace is for the guilty. Mercy is for the miserable. Help is for the helpless. I'm saying that a man will never be filled with the grace of God who has never, first of all, been emptied. Secondly, I'm saying that a man will never be saved who's never been lost. Christ came to save the lost. I'm saying that a man will never be healed who's never been sick. I'm saying that a man will never be exalted with Christ who's never been broken, humbled, and made contrite by the Spirit of God. A man will never hear the good news from Calvary until he's first heard the bad news from Sinai. Unless he's a sinner, he'll never lay hold upon Christ. Christ receiveth sinful men. That's what these Pharisees said. They saw him go to the house of Zacchaeus, and they said he's gone to be the guest of a man that's a sinner. They saw him sitting at the table with these publicans and sinners, and they said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." That's true. That's the best news you can hear. That's the very best news that any sinner can hear, that Christ receiveth sinful men, even me, even you, with all our sin. Through his blood, we can be purged from every spot and stain, and heaven with him enter in. We sing these songs all the time. Do we hear them? "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." Our Lord Jesus Christ gave this example. He gave this to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's why it's preceded with these words. "And the Lord spake to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And he said, you listen to me. Two men went to church one day to pray." He said, up to the temple. We'll use it like we're living in our day. Two men went to church. One of them was a devout moralist, a legalist, a separationist. He was a man who was very religious. He was a man, we'll hear him talk in a minute and tell a whole lot about him. But he went all the way up to the front of the church, right up to the altar. And he began to pray. He began to tell God about his good deeds. He said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I've been tithing ever since I was a boy. I give alms to the poor. And God, I thank you I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I've never been an unjust man. I've always paid my bills. I've always treated my neighbor right. I thank you, Lord, I'm not like other men." How did God react to this man's statements? The Scripture says God didn't hear him. He prayed with himself. Now, the other man was a publican. He was a sinner. He knew it. Everybody knew it. He didn't come down to the front. He stayed back in the back. And he wouldn't lift his hands, not even his hands to heaven, not even his eyes to heaven. But he smote on his breast, and this is his prayer. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. Be merciful to me. Let your blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. Forgive my sin. Pardon my iniquities. Be reconciled to me, the sinner. Our Lord said, Jesus Christ, in his word, that this man who confessed his sin, who faced his sin, who confessed the reality of his sin, who sought mercy, who cried for grace, went home forgiven, pardoned, justified, rather than the other. Now that's what I'm saying. Preacher, what are you trying to say? This is what I'm saying, what I believe Christ said. And I'm saying what I believe we need to hear in this generation. I'm trying to say that today's gospel of good works, today's gospel of morality and self-righteousness and legalism, today's gospel of reward for good deeds is not the gospel at all. It's another gospel. It is not the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, listen to me, is Christ died for sinners. Christ died for sinners. Christ intercedes at God's right hand for sinners. That Christ saves sinners. That Christ invites sinners, real, bona fide, genuine sinners, to come to him for eternal life. Our Lord is the friend of sinners. Now, that's not being said today. A sinner is a hard thing to find. Did you know that? I mean a genuine sinner, a man who's a sinner, who's without help, without hope, without strength, without God. Guilty before the law of God. Guilty before the holiness of God. Guilty before the glory of God. Who sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who can say, I'm not worthy. Who am I? I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm the chief of sinners. Brethren, Christ came to save such people. And I don't come to you to prove his love for sinners. I come to declare it. To declare what these Pharisees said in a derogatory manner, what these Pharisees said, hoping to heap ridicule and shame upon the blessed Master, I say is the best news you ever heard. If he doesn't save sinners, he'll never save you or me. He needs no human lawyer. His words and his actions prove his love. Let me give you about five. Listen to this. His incarnation is proof of his love for sinners. This man received sinners. Why, his incarnation proves that. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man. He came into this world in human flesh. That's what it says. The Word was made flesh. He was numbered, became one with the transgressors. That's right. He became our representative. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and yet made himself of no reputation. No reputation. Who is he? The carpenter? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Do you teach us? You're not 50 years old, they said. How can you know Abraham? Made himself of no reputation. Took on himself the form of a servant. Took on himself the likeness of sinful flesh. That proves his love for sinners. Came down here and became one of us. He knew no sin. He had no sin. He bore our sin. But he became a man. Subject to every trial and test and temptation that man's subject to. And then watch this. His association with sinners is proof of his love. You don't find the Master standing afar off from sinful people, issuing laws and commandments and statutes to them and daring them to touch him. One of the Pharisees said when the harlot was bathing his feet with tears, he said, if that fellow was a prophet, he wouldn't let her touch him. He'd know what manner of woman she is. But you don't find the Lord standing afar off, aloof from sinners. You find him associating with them, walking with them, eating with them, talking with them. That's what brought this charge. He's the friend of sinners. His birth was in a manger, not in a temple. His office was in a carpenter shop, not a synagogue. His disciples were fishermen and laborers, not theologians. His followers were publicans and harlots. He even died between two thieves. He never spoke more kindly than when he spoke to a sinner. He never spoke more harshly than when he spoke to a legalist, to a self-righteous religionist. He called them a generation of vipers. He called them hypocrites. He said, you shut up the kingdom of God to yourself and others. You won't go in or suffer anybody else to go in. Our Lord's incarnation shows his love for sinners. His association shows his love for sinners, and his sermons. Listen to his sermons. His sermons reveal his love for sinners. Listen to the sermon on the prodigal son. Man had two sons. One of them said, give me what's coming to me. I'm leaving this place. And he took his inheritance and he went out, wasted it, threw it away, lived wickedly, rebelliously, disgraced his father's name. But that father never quit loving him, never quit looking for him, never quit wanting him to come back. And our Lord said one day, the boy said, I'm going to go back home. Even the hired servants in my father's house are better off than I am. And he said when that father saw him a long ways off, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Kissed the rebel. And he said, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe on his back and kill the fatted calf. This my son who was lost is back home again. Rejoice with me. And Christ said, let me tell you something. He said, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. Listen to him talk about the lost sheep, how that the shepherd went out to hunt one lost sheep, how he suffered and agonized till he found his sheep, and he brought it home with him on his shoulders and said, rejoice with me, my sheep was lost, but now it's found. Likewise, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Listen, our Lord, at the Last Supper, he took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. And he took wine, he said, this is my blood shed for you for the remission of your sins. Yes, our Lord's sermons revealed he loved sinners. And then our Lord's prayers. Listen to him pray. He said, Peter, you'll deny me. Peter said, Lord, I'll die for you. These other fellows may quit you, but I'll stand with you to the end. He said, no, Peter, you'll deny three times. You'll deny before the cock crows that you ever knew me. But I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Listen to him on Calvary's cross as he looks down into the face of those men who drove the nails in his hands and put the crown of thorns on his brow and spit in his face and plucked out his beard. And he moves his eyes from one to the other and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Love sinners? Oh, he loves sinners. He's a friend of sinners. And John said this, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who has an advocate? The moralist? No, sir. The self-righteous? No, sir. The religious? No, sir. The legalist? No, sir. The separationist? No, sir. The hypocrite? No, sir. Who has an advocate? The man who sins has an advocate with the Father. You do what you want to with that. But that's good news to most folks that are listening to my voice. And then last of all, his death proves his love for sinners. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we're healed. Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. By his stripes we're healed. My friends, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such sorrow and love meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His death was a real death for real sinners. His grace is real grace for real guilty men. His call to repentance is a genuine call to every lost son of Adam. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Now, if I could pull my chair up beside you right now and look you in the face, I would declare unto you what God has been pleased to reveal to me from his word. Here are four things, and I want you to listen to them. First of all, Almighty God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of this universe, the God with whom we have to do, is a holy, righteous, and just God. He will not clear the guilty. He will punish sin, all sin. Secondly, we are sinful, guilty, unacceptable creatures. Our righteousness is a filthy rags in God's sight. There's no good in any man's flesh. In the flesh, no man can please God. But God Almighty, thirdly, sent His Son into this world to redeem sinners, to justify sinners, to sanctify sinners by one offering. He hath perfected forever them that believe. Christ Jesus is the only way to God. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Not baptism or church membership or decision. Sinners come to the Savior, only to the Savior for eternal life. The fourth thing, you're called to faith in Him alone. He does not require you to produce righteousness, but to receive it. He invites you to come. That's my message to you. It's good news. This man received sinners.